2 Timothy chapter 1, my text will be verse 5, where Paul, writing to Timothy, says this. He is thankful, as he prays in verses 3 and 4, when he calls to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now in you also. Then turning the page to chapter 3, verse 14, he continues a reflection upon Timothy's personal experience of faith in verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the living God. Would you join me as we pray together for God's blessing upon this truth? Our Father and our God, we pray that now, through the marvelous work of the Holy Spirit, that you will open our minds and understanding to the truth of your word, and that you will teach us from these, your scriptures, what it is that you would have us to know concerning living for the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in faith and in loving and in serving Him. Grant, O Lord, that through the example of these faithful women, we may see an example for us today, and that we may be thankful for those who have gone before us as examples, just like Lois and Eunice, of women who lived for the faith of the Scriptures. Grant these blessings in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, on this Mother's Day, I want you to think with me just briefly about some things about mothers. To some degree, each one of us is a product of our home. And one of the great influences in the home is, of course, the mother. Often the mother is the most formative influence in the home. One great example of that comes from church history. One example, perhaps the greatest theologian of all time, Saint Augustine. His mother, by the name of Monica, was a devout Christian. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wanted her son, Augustine, to follow in her footsteps and to love the Lord as well, but he did not. She was a Christian, her husband was not. And so Augustine grew up in a home that was separated and divided by belief and unbelief. Augustine was a brilliant student, a young person who grew up, was able to accommodate and master his studies, but he was also known for his immorality, his recklessness, and his wickedness. By his own personal testimony, Augustine said that in his youth he plunged into wickedness. It's almost as though he decided that the deep end of wickedness, if that's as deep as it can go, that's where I want to be. At one point in his life, he deceived his mother and he decided to go to Rome. And as the ship was sailing away, his mother comes to the dockside, still pleading with him not to go. And there at the dockside, it is said that a Christian friend comforted St. Augustine's mother by saying, "The son of so many prayers surely cannot be lost." Well, as God would have it, St. Augustine moved to Rome. And as he moved to Rome, he came under the preaching of St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan. Later, under the conviction and the power of the Word of God, Augustine was soundly converted just before his mother died. What a joy it must have been to her heart to see her son come to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, she did not live long enough to see him become one of the greatest leaders that the church, in the history of the church, has ever seen. By his own testimony, John Calvin looked to St. Augustine as the greatest theologian that influenced his life. And it is the influence of St. Augustine from 354 AD that still sets the tone for the church today. Well, St. Augustine had a godly mother. So did Timothy, the man in our text. The man to whom Paul writes this book, which is to guard the gospel that was entrusted to him. Where did Timothy learn this gospel? How did Timothy come to faith? How did Timothy, this young person, this young man who had been converted and had been led into the ministry at such a young age, how did he come to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we can glean a few things from the texts that we have read this morning. And from those texts, we can say with certainty that Timothy grew up in a godly home and he had a godly mother who fed him and nurtured him on the Word of God. Just as St. Augustine, Timothy had a home that was a home of a father who was an unbeliever, but yet a mother who was a believer. Paul recognized this when he's writing to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5 of 2 Timothy. He says, I remember or reflect upon your faith. And then notice he says, it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Paul recognized that this faith was a faith that came from a godly home. It got a godly home that began with grandmother Lois. We read in the 16th chapter of Acts that Eunice, her daughter, was a Jewess. In other words, she was of the Jewish faith. She married a Gentile husband, an unbelieving husband. It's not exactly recommended. The scripture is clear on that. But for whatever reason, they were married and they had a son. And their son was Timothy. And he grew up in this home, a home in which his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were ones who had a faith in the promise of the Word of God. What we learn about Lois in this brief mention is that she was a woman who was faithful when it came to teaching her family. And Grandma Lois was faithful in teaching Eunice the things of the Word of God. Paul is often reflective on the things that he speaks of in these passages, such as the faithfulness of Timothy's mother, the faithfulness of Timothy's grandmother. He is thankful. Read with me Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Turn back just a few pages to the first chapter of Romans. We read these opening verses and sometimes pass them over, but there's much to glean from them. Paul writes to the Romans and he says in verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The same is said in Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, your faith is spoken about throughout all the world. What Paul is saying in this passage about Timothy, or to Timothy, is that his mother's faith and his grandmother's faith were something that he rejoiced in because it was an influence in the life of young Timothy. He is thankful for their faithfulness, that they were faithful women in a godly home, providing a godly environment. They were sincere in their faith. He says that faith now lives in you. It wasn't a hit or miss kind of an affair. They were faithful. And in their faithfulness, they showed by their example, by their life, and by their teaching, they showed Timothy what he needed to know in order for him to come to the place where Paul could say of Timothy, that faith that lived in your grandmother and in your mother, that faith now lives in you. He could trace grace in the lives of Timothy back through the teaching and the godliness of his mother and his grandmother. Grandmother Lois was perhaps the rock. She started it off, but then it's also the mother Eunice. She also was a faithful teacher of the Word. Turn again to the third chapter, which we read. In verse 14, Paul says, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Three things jump out in that passage that tell us that Timothy's mother Eunice was a faithful mother. First of all, continue in the things which you have learned. Where did he learn them? From whom did he learn them? And you have been assured of knowing that from knowing from whom you have learned them. In other words, Paul is, by a roundabout way, saying, you learn them from your mother. You learn them. Continue in them. And notice what he says in verse 15, and that from childhood you have learned and known the Holy Scriptures. Eunice was a mother who faithfully taught her son from childhood, from his infancy, Holy Scripture. You know, it's said that children learn a great deal in the first 2 years of their lives. If you don't think that's true, set up with a two-year-old sometime. By two, they learn how to do this a lot, don't they? Sometimes nonstop. Have you ever stopped to think that from zero to two, they have packed in an enormous amount of learning in just the English language? They've become almost masters of the English language. Well, granted, gimme doesn't, befit proper English, but they've learned a lot more than just gimme. They've learned how to speak. They've learned how to communicate. They've learned how to be little human persons, and all that in the space of 2 years. They can learn an awful lot in the space of 2 years. I think that Lois and Eunice were faithful mothers. Eunice teaching her child from infancy. When he began to learn his mother tongue, he also began to learn the Holy Scripture. She included in her educating process an education in the Word of God as she taught Timothy and as he grew and was nurtured. She exemplifies, I believe, what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 speaks of when it commands parents to nurture and admonish your children in the Lord. There's two prongs there. The nurturing is, of course, the faith growth. And the admonition is, of course, the correction. But think a minute with me about that word nurture. We nurture our children. We nurture them in the things they need for their body. We give them, we hope, balanced diets. We encourage them to eat good foods. We want them to be nurtured so that that nurturing process will enable them to grow and to be healthy and to be strong. The same could be said of the nurture that we offer to our children in the Lord. And I would remind you that Paul says in Ephesians 6 that that's the job of the parents. Nurture and admonish your children in the Lord was not a command given for the Sunday school to operate and to take the place of the parent. Nurturing is the covenantal responsibility of the parent in the home. The parents are the ones who are responsible to teach the children what God has given them to seek the Lord and to live. That command from Ephesians to nurture and to admonish our children in the Lord rests upon the Old Testament promise of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where repeatedly the prophet Moses gives repeated admonitions to exhort and to teach the children daily and warns the parents of the failure of not doing what he commanded them to do. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, do not forget. In short, the command of the Word of God from Old Testament to New Testament alike is that we teach our children in the way of the Lord. We have the Word of God. Paul, Moses, the Word of God is saying, use the Word of God. I believe Eunice, Timothy's mother, was a woman of faith who believed God and His Word, received that promise of truth, and she passed that word on to her son, Timothy. And she taught him the doctrines of the faith of her fathers. Timothy is recipient of this entire epistle from the hand of the Apostle Paul. And he is admonished by the Apostle Paul to remain faithful in the things that you have learned. Timothy was an example of a Christian who was grounded in the Word of the living God. He was not some fair weather Christian that came when he decided to come and when it was convenient to be there, but he was one who was committed to the Christ and to the church of Christ and to the service of Christ, because like his mother before him and his grandmother before her, he had demonstrated a character that was faithful. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to think that that coming to faith and that trusting the Lord Jesus Christ was largely due to the example, the influence, and the godliness of the mother and the grandmother, who were faithful, godly women in that home. So moms, today is Mother's Day. You're going to get a lot of flowers, hopefully a card or two. Maybe you won't have to do the dishes. How many of you just, you know, they'll put it in the dishwasher. You can correct the mistakes later, okay? But don't forget, that's not your primary job. Your primary job is the leading and the teaching and the praying for your children in the home. Will your children be able to look back like Timothy could look back and say, his mom, her mom before her, were godly, godly examples of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ? They were faithful. And then I would like to suggest that they were also women who regularly fed upon the Word of God. And that's the second point in this message this morning. We take it from chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We look at it again. Paul says, continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Take a moment and compare the experience of Timothy and the Apostle Paul. We know a little bit about Timothy now. What about the Apostle Paul? Perhaps just a refresher. Paul, as you know, was raised in a devout Hebrew home. He, of course, went to synagogue school and could learn Hebrew from ground up. He studied under the great scholar Gamaliel, we find in Scripture. And then we also know that he was a Pharisee. He was of the strictest sect of the Jewish people, following and obeying the law of God. Timothy, however, had a divided home, as we've mentioned before. No synagogue school like the Apostle Paul. No growing up learning the precious Holy Scriptures as the Apostle Paul did from childhood in Hebrew school. Timothy, I would suggest, was homeschooled by his mother. Homeschooled with a commendable education, however, one which was centered and rested in the Word of God. Lois and Eunice fed on the Word of God. They believed the Word of God to be true, and they passed that along to Timothy. They were students of the Book of Life. They held to the primacy of the Word of God in their lives. That's evidenced in their faithfulness from generation to generation in the teaching of that book to their children. Faithful Jews in the days of the apostles and in the early church educated their children in the Bible. They were to learn it. They were to memorize it. Look at the many psalms that are set up in fashion so that you can memorize them. That's why they are set up the way they are. And the Scripture is replete with admonitions to study the Word of God because it's so important. It's God's Word. And Eunice and Lois studied faithfully, and they nourished themselves in the Word of God. They had a fortified diet when it came to the nourishment in the Word of God, and that enabled them to equip Timothy for godly living in a day in which it was so desperately needed. Notice that Paul writes to Timothy in the day of false teaching, in a day when people would turn their ears away from the truth to having itching ears, longing for kinds of teachings, Paul says later, that would not glorify God. Timothy was equipped. Timothy was made ready. Timothy was taught in the Scriptures because Lois and Eunice spoke to him the Scriptures, which Paul says, which are able to make you wise for salvation. The scriptures were profitable to Timothy because the scripture alone is able to bring salvation through faith that comes in Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible is that which tells us about the Savior. The Bible is that which tells us that Christ alone is suitable for all of our needs. The Bible is that which tells us that Christ is the only Savior. He's not one among many, as we hear today. And we hear that in too many places. Sadly, we hear that even in some churches. The Bible tells us that Christ alone is the Savior of sinners, and that the only hope and the only ground of salvation is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior from sin. Paul says to Timothy, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, you have the Word of God. And you receive that from your godly mother, your godly grandmother. Those women who fed themselves on the Word of God fed Timothy that same food so that he could love the Lord, so that he could learn the Scriptures, so that he would be convinced, which is the word that means firmly believe, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be able to know and understand the counsel of what Hebrews 5:14 tells us. We need to be trained in the Word to discern between good and evil. In other words, these women taught the Word of God faithfully over and over, year in and year out, week in and week out, to this young man. And it was his greatest preparation for the ministry of the Word that he ever received. And the greatest heritage of a mother is that she will have children who not only learn God's Word, but who firmly believe it, who live its truth and submit their lives to the teaching of the Holy Scripture. It's not just something that we do so that our children can get up and recite a nice little something when it comes to Christmas time and they dress up like a shepherd and they speak the words of Luke chapter 2 and, you know, we go through the scenes of Jesus' birth. It's not so that our children can pass the test when it comes to memorizing for their class at school, but it's so that our children may grow to love and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater gift could be given to our children than the gift of teaching and exemplifying Holy Scripture in our lives. And that's what Eunice and that's what Lois did as godly women. They taught their children the Word of God. And you know, that reminds us that our children are capable of receiving those blessings, aren't they? We don't know when Timothy came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible doesn't tell us wait until they're 12 years old, wait until they've reached a certain age. The Bible simply tells us teach them. In Deuteronomy it says, in your going and in your coming, teach them the Word of God. God has given us His Word so that our children will hear from us a word from God. And God is pleased to accompany that word with the life-giving power and work of the Holy Spirit to bring our children to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as we think of mothers, we could also extend it to fathers as well. But wouldn't it be the greatest joy for a mother to be able to bring her children to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? We should aspire to see that in our lives, in our families, in our homes. As grandparents, we should want to see our grandchildren come to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Lois, grandmother Lois, did. She wanted Timothy to learn Christ. She taught her daughter Lois to learn Christ. We ought to teach our children to know and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our grandchildren, so that they will follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Mother's Day. Remember your moms. Remember faithful moms and be thankful for them. Perhaps your own mothers, those who have gone before us. But remember, we don't live for Mother's Day and for the recognition, the hugs, the kisses, the cards, and the flowers. Those things are all important in their own right. But Mother's Day ought to be a reminder to us that we would want to see godly women who see their children walking in righteousness and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living for Christ? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you living by that faith that you have learned, and perhaps you learned it from your mother? Are you living in the light of the truth of the Word of God, which alone is able to make you wise unto salvation? If not, the Word of God is clear. Come, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn yourself away from everything and turn to Him alone. Trust in Him alone. Seek Him alone. And the Bible says those that seek Him, they will find Him. Those that call upon Him, He will hear. His promise is that not one who calls upon the name of the Lord will be lost, but all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the heart's desire of every godly mother for their children and for their grandchildren. May it be ours as well. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for our mothers and our mothers in the faith, those who have led us and taught us with compassion and with love, those who have shown us the Savior, and those who, like Timothy's mother and grandmother, were so faithful. Our Father, we know our failings as well, but we know that in our Savior there is one who can take our failings and failures and turn us into that which You desire us to be, faithful and obedient. And so we pray that those who would cry out to You today and ask for Your grace and for Your love, even for the first time, may they find in Christ a Savior. May they find in Him one who fills their longings and their desires with joy. And may they find in Christ the one whom our heart desires more than anything. And may Your Word be glorified in Christ and through Him, in whose name we pray. Amen.